Welcome to the Townships at 12. I'm your host, Maureen Dillon Teasdale, and I will be with you for the next hour. In the first half hour today, I will be talking with Dr. Larissa Maniz. Dr. Maniz is the Director of Mission and Research Programs for Fighting Blindness Canada, and today she will be talking about a 2023 Vision Health Report, Post-Pandemic Recovery, Challenges Remain. But first, we will hear the song called Christmas Without You by Ava Max. We will hear the interview right after the song, so please stay tuned. You're listening to The Cube 88.9 FM.
Lights on the trees under falling snow. You get a bit closer when the winter's cold. Now I can't wait till you're by my side. All of the best gifts you just can't buy. Wherever you go, you light up the room. I hope that you'll make it back home soon. 'Cause it won't feel like Christmas without you. I wish we were kissing under mistletoe. The stars in the sky just can't match your glow. Now I can't wait till you're by my side. We'll be warm by the fire all night.
Dillon Teasdale for The Cube, and today I'm very pleased to welcome Dr. Larissa Maniz to the Townships at 12. Now, she is the Director of Mission and Research Programs for Fighting Blindness Canada. So welcome, Dr. Maniz.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Now, could you tell our listeners a bit about the organization Fighting Blindness Canada?
Absolutely. So Fighting Blindness Canada, we are a not-for-profit organization. And we are the leading charitable funder of vision research in Canada. So our mission is really to accelerate world-class research, to provide expert information, advocacy, and connection for anybody who is impacted by a blinding eye disease. And that might be an eye disease like age-related macular degeneration or glaucoma, but it could also be a really rare eye disease like retinitis pigmentosa or Usher syndrome.
Let's talk about the 2023 Vision Health Report, Post-Pandemic Recovery, Challenges Remain. Could you tell us about this report?
Yes, yeah, so this report is was done in collaboration with another charitable vision loss organization called the Canadian Council of the Blind. And we came together because we really wanted to understand what is the state of vision health care in Canada. In the past few years, we have collaborated on previous studies where we showed that the pandemic had really led to a huge impact on eye care. So this included things like people missing their treatment, people missing appointments or surgeries, very long wait times. And all of these delays because of the pandemic had real impacts on people's eye health and even in some cases, broader health, because eye health is so crucial to the overall health system. Mm-hmm. And so what we wanted to do is, after seeing the big impact that the pandemic had had, we're like, what is the state nowadays? Has the eye health system recovered? And so we looked at data from 2023, and sort of the good news story was that in most cases, the system has recovered. People are going back for their appointments, they're going back for treatment. To a large degree, wait times are largely back to pre-pandemic levels, not completely, but almost. However, there are still so many challenges that remain and that had been there before the pandemic. So there's workforce and supply issues, continuing to be an aging population, which is going to lead to higher levels of blinding eye disease. And then, of course, equitable access, whether you're talking about rural or remote, whether you're talking about healthcare for Indigenous populations or talking about access between different provinces, all of these things still remain quite a big challenge.
Okay. I was surprised. I read the report, and 1 in 5 Canadians, they have a condition that puts them at risk for blindness. Could you tell us what kinds of conditions there are and what are most common?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that is like a really stark number, 1 in 5, and that is about 8 million Canadians. And so the top 4 causes of vision loss in Canada are cataracts, age-related macular degeneration, diabetic retinopathy, and glaucoma. So a lot of these eye diseases, I think people will have heard of. They might not even have thought about them as being an eye disease, but these are sort of conditions that can cause vision loss or even blindness if not treated. But there's also a lot of other eye diseases. I would say specifically things like inherited retinal diseases, which are relatively small in number. Only 22,000 people in Canada have an IRD, but they have a really large lifelong impact and can be significant causes of vision loss. So we have like the top 4, but then we have dozens or potentially even hundreds of other eye diseases, which can have really big impact, but on a smaller number of people.
Okay. So I guess the number one condition would be cataracts then?
Absolutely. So cataracts is the number one condition, followed by age-related macular degeneration, diabetic retinopathy, and glaucoma. And there's a stat that I think is really striking, that 75% of vision loss could be prevented or treated if caught early. So I think that's a really important number for people to know, because I think the idea of vision loss can be extremely scary to many people. And so I think that just really drives home the fact that going for regular eye appointments and really taking care of your eye health is really important, because we do have treatments for many types of eye diseases to prevent vision loss. Not for everything, but there are for cataracts, for some types of age-related macular degeneration, and some types of glaucoma, there are treatments that can be really effective, but you really have to catch the condition early and start treating early.
Mm-hmm. At what age should parents start taking their children for eye exams?
So the Canadian Association of Optometry has specific recommendations for when, how often people should be getting eye checkups. I believe it is one time under the age of 2 years, and then you should be getting another eye appointment before you start school, and then roughly every year when you are a child. And then I do know that the coverage for adults from 18 to 65 isn't even across the provinces, but I would say every 2 to 3 years, you should be getting an eye appointment. And then once you hit about 60 or 65, you should be getting them more regularly. And if you have anything that puts you at high risk of having an eye condition, for instance, if you have family history of some of these eye diseases, if you have diabetes, which would put you at high risk of diabetic retinopathy, you should be going for annual checkups.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good to know. Now, the pandemic, COVID, did it affect the eyes a lot? What about people with long COVID? Is there an effect usually on the eyes?
So the evidence around the impact of COVID on eye health, I would say it's a little bit mixed. There does seem to be some potential short-term impacts on eye health from COVID itself, from the COVID virus, and that might be sort of inflammation in the eye. But an eye condition isn't the biggest symptom of COVID. I would say what is a bigger impact of COVID was the need to social distance, the diversion of healthcare resources to other areas of the healthcare system, which really sort of stopped things that were considered non-essential. And also people's fear of going for appointments because they were afraid of catching COVID. So some people were afraid to go to their regular appointments. So those things really deprioritized a lot of the eye care.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I was reading a little bit in the report there, the eye care services, most of them are back up to standard, I guess, but the cataract surgery is still lagging behind?
Yeah, it still is lagging behind. And if you look and get a bit more granular with the data, as a national average, it's close to recovered, if not quite recovered. And it depends on which metric you use. But when you look at individual provinces, you can see really different trends. Some provinces are doing even better than they were before the pandemic. I think they've instituted new strategies and actually have a shorter wait time than they did before the pandemic. Other provinces like Ontario and Quebec are very close to or have recovered. And then you have other provinces, some specifically in the Atlantic provinces, who really are still sort of struggling to recover to even pre-pandemic levels.
Okay. Do you think people as a rule tend to take care of their eye health?
And I don't think so, actually. And I would say this even from personal experience before I joined Fighting Blindness Canada. I'm not sure how much priority I put on getting regular eye exams. It was one of those things that because I'm under the age of 65, it isn't covered as part of my provincial health care in Ontario. Some people may have private coverage for it, but if you don't have private coverage, you don't always think about that being essential then. Because in my head, if it was essential, it would be covered by provincial healthcare. And so I don't think a lot of people think about it. And if there isn't an immediate problem, I think people don't really consider that they have to go for these regular eye cares or eye checkups. So what we are hoping is we are supporting a bill called the National Eye Care Strategy. This is all of the vision loss organizations are supporting it. And we're really hoping that when the strategy is developed, that this will really allow more focus, more priority to be put on eye care. And that means building awareness from people that eye care is really important. It's important to go for regular eye health checkups, but also prioritizing eye care within our healthcare services.
Mm-hmm. Now, AI, does that have a role in healthcare for the eyes?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're still in, I would say, relatively early days of understanding exactly how artificial intelligence is going to impact not only eye health care, but sort of all aspects of our life and all aspects of our health system. But I would say that in ophthalmology, it's been in a way a little bit of an early adopter for artificial intelligence. So already there are strategies to try to use artificial intelligence to improve or make more efficient diagnosis. So for instance, would the AI machine be able to diagnose a disease earlier, or if not earlier, at least the same efficiency as a doctor? And that could maybe really relieve some workforce issues. But there's also, I think, some really important ways that AI is starting to be talked about getting integrated into treatment or patient management or treatment planning. So I feel like every conference I go to the last few years, like there's a big conversation about artificial intelligence and how people are going to be best using it. And I think we're going to be hearing a lot more about that in the coming years.
Okay, interesting. About how many Canadians have vision loss now, and do you see this number changing in the future?
Yep, so the number right now, it's estimated that there are approximately 1.2 million Canadians who have vision loss. And this number it's people who have vision loss even when they're wearing glasses. So it's sort of what we call best corrected visual acuity. So even when they're wearing the best correction they can, they still have vision loss. And the incidence is expected to go up. It will go up obviously as the population grows, but also as the population ages. As I mentioned earlier, some of the top four eye diseases, age-related macular degeneration, cataracts, diabetic retinopathy, and glaucoma all have an age-related component. So they're more common as you get older. So as the population ages, these eye diseases are definitely going to become more common. And it's expected that the incidence of vision-related diseases will double in the next 25 years.
Okay. Now, as we age, are there any ways we can prevent cataracts, things like that, or is it just in our genetics?
So it's a complicated answer. It's a little bit of both, I would say. So there's definitely a genetic component to every aspect of how we age and what diseases we're going to be more or less susceptible to. And some diseases have a stronger genetic component than others. So that part is something that we can't change. So what we can change is how we take care of our eyes in a general way. So some of the top things that people can do to protect their eye health is to protect their eyes from the sun. So from UV damage, which can exacerbate cataracts, keeping a healthy lifestyle, so particularly not smoking or stopping smoking if you are a smoker, eating healthy, exercising, all of these things can help reduce the risk of age-related macular degeneration and other eye diseases. If you have diabetes, trying to control your glucose levels, that is really important to prevent the risk of progression of diabetic retinopathy. And then if you have age-related macular degeneration, there are some supplements that may be useful to help reduce the progression. So there are sort of quite a few different things, but there's no, I would say, silver bullet that if you do this one thing, you're definitely not going to get an eye disease. For many of us, and maybe most of us as we age, we probably will get one or more eye diseases. But I think the important thing to remember is that there are treatments out there. And so if you get an eye disease, especially if you've been taking care of your eyes, if you catch it early because you're going for regular eye appointments, we're sort of lucky today that for many cases, there are treatments that can help.
Okay, good advice. We thank you very much, Dr. Moniz. Anything else you'd like to add before we go?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about eye health today. And I would say if anybody has any questions or wants to learn more about eye health or specific eye disease, they can come to our website at fightingblindness.ca.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Dr. Larissa Moniz, the Director of Mission and Research Programs for Fighting Blindness Canada. Thanks very much for all the information.
Thank you.
1, 2, 3, 4. Every time you come around, you know I can't say no. Every time the sun goes down, I let you take control. I can feel the paradise before my world implodes. And tonight had something wonderful. My bad lead to late nights, sitting alone. Conversations with a stranger I barely know. Swearing this will be the last, but it probably won't. I got nothing left to lose or use, or do my bad habits lead to white eyes staring at space? And I know I lose control of the things that I say. Yeah, I was looking for a way out, yeah, now I can't escape. but it probably won't. I got nothing left to lose or use, or do my bad habits lead to white eyes staring in space?
Bad Habits by Ed Sheeran. You're listening to The Cube 88.9 FM, and this is The Townships at 12. And next up, we have some community event announcements for you here on The Townships at 12. Lennoxville United Church Christmas Bazaar coming up on November 16th, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Lennoxville United Church, located at 6 Church Street in Lennoxville. The Lennoxville United Church Women, UCW, invite you to get into the Christmas spirit as you browse the sales tables that they will offer with an assortment of Christmas goodies and gifts. Bake table, large assortment of homemade baked goods, Christmas fruit cakes, homemade donuts, candy table, a wish table, knitting, woodworking, silent auction, fish pond, and attic treasures. Join them in the lower hall for a snack of fresh homemade biscuits, plain or cheese, homemade jams and jellies, and tea and coffee. Again, that's November 16th, Lennoxville United Church, 6 Church Street in Lennoxville, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. There will be a delicious brunch served at the Hut on November 17th, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Everyone is welcome, admission charged. There will be a Christmas market, Sunday Christmas market, Sunday, November 24th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Hut, 300 St. Francis Street in Lennoxville, hosted by the Ladies Auxiliary. For more information or to rent a table, please contact Wanda Evans, 819-565-7099. Grace Village Christmas Market happens on Saturday, November 23rd. They are located at 1515 Pleasant View Street in Sherbrooke and in Huntingville. The time is 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and they hope to see everybody there, so come on out and support the Grace Village.
Ice Candles and Wreaths, Wednesday, November 27th, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the Colby Curtis Museum. It is free. In collaboration with the participants of their caregivers exhibit, they will be making ice candles and table wreaths. All levels are welcome and the materials are provided. Visit the website www.colbycurtis.ca.
Hugs is back. From November to March, Mental Health Estuary is accepting hugs, H-U-G-S, hats, underwear, gloves, socks, and scarves, and other warm items of clothing. These are then donated to local resources offering services to those experiencing homelessness. Monetary donations are also accepted through the website and by check. Please make checks payable to Mental Health Estuary and indicate HUGS Hugs on the memo line. Items can be dropped off directly at their office in the beige bins next to door number 2 at 3355 College Street in Sherbrooke. Alternately, an in-person appointment can be scheduled to drop off items or a check. For more information, 819-565-3777 or projects@mentalhealthestuary.com. Mental Health Estuary, MHE, invites you to attend Setting Better Boundaries to Improve Relationships with Self and Others with Risha Dave, registered psychotherapist, Canadian Certified Counselor, and former MHE employee. What you will take away from this workshop: different types of boundaries, benefits of setting boundaries, what to expect when setting boundaries, and more. This free virtual workshop is open to all and takes place in English. Join them on Zoom Wednesday, November 20th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. For more information or to register, please visit their Facebook page or Instagram pages. Email outreach@mentalhealthestuary.com or call them 819-565-2388. There will be a Christmas market sponsored by the Lennoxville Farmers Market that will be happening on November 30th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Lennoxville United Church, 6 Church Street in Sherbrooke. The Secret Santa campaign is on. The Secret Santa campaign pairs kids of all ages with community sponsors so no one goes without this holiday season. Option 1. You are paired with one or multiple children and shop for items on their wish list. Option 2. Donate. If you don't have time or don't like to shop, write them a check and they will do the shopping. This is sponsored by the Lennoxville and District Women's Center. You can contact them at 819-564-6626 or email info@ldwc.ca. To donate, send checks to Lennoxville and District Women's Center, 175 Queen Street, Suite 203, in Sherbrooke. Charitable tax receipts are available for monetary donations. The campaign runs from November 11th to December 10th.
There will be a dance at the ANAF, The Hut, coming up on November 23rd. The band will be Slightly Haggard. Starts at 8 p.m. You must be 18 years and over. The Hut is located at 300 St. Francis Street in Sherbrooke. Colby Curtis Museum Holiday High Tea happens on Saturday, December 7th, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. or 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. It's $35. On the menu, the traditional cucumber sandwiches, scones with Devonshire-style cream and jam, accompanied by other seasonal savory and sweet treats. You will also be served the Colby Curtis blend of tea and have an option of specialty drink. To book a table, www.colbycurtis.ca. I'd like to thank my guest in the first half hour today, Dr. Larissa Moniz, Director of Mission and Research Programs for Fighting Blindness Canada. We will close the first half hour today with Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, done by Kelly Clarkson. We will take a break and hear the news with Derek Bullard and a word from one of our sponsors, and we will be right back with the second half hour of the Townships at 12 here on theCUBE 88.9 FM.